Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 439th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has just added Pick'em Scorchers, where you can win 100 times your entry. That's right, turn $5 into $500 in just one game. Plus, every Sunday, they're giving away $100,000. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $500. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. The NBA is back, and so is the NBA Gambling Podcast. To celebrate, we're giving away an NBA Gambling Podcast hoodie. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/NBA dog for all the details.
Howdy ho, degenerators. Welcome to episode 439 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going to go out to Invicta FC. Invicta
is back. Oh, I did it again.
Non-UFC commercials. Actually, enjoy watching. There's the song again. Gumby did it again.
Every time.
Except for one. 3 out of 4. He's hitting 750.
This YouTube and new format stuff. Like, I know some of you are out there still listening just via Spotify or wherever it is you download platforms and whatnot. Like, I just don't expect it to keep playing.
Yes, make sure you watch and listen to us. We're on YouTube, MMA Gambling Podcast, and of course, still download us. We still need our download numbers up there too. But yeah, it's fun. Gumby is making it fun. I'm on your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. And like I said, this goes out to Invicta because Invicta is running this week in Gumby's backyard, kind of, sort of. Boston, Mass. Are you going to the event, Gumby?
You know, I was going to go to the event, but there is a few obstacles in my own life keeping me from going to it. So I will sadly not be attending, despite the fact it's in kind of a cool venue, too. It's at the House of Blues in Boston. Yep. And that's it's on Causeway's for the Braves. It's on Lansdowne Street, which is where Fenway Park is. So it's like right in Fenway Park's backyard.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool. And Invicta always puts on a good show. Good fights, good announced team. You know, I don't really have any complaints about Invicta. It's a quality organization.
Yeah, they've always got good, like, well-matched fights, too. I never, like, look at one of their fights and, like, oh, they're giving so-and-so a freebie so that she can make the UFC. It's always like, yep. Oh, yeah, no, that fight totally makes sense for where those two are in their career.
Yep. Very, very good. We're going to break down all 6 fights, as Gumby promised last episode. Before that, do you want to talk about any of the plays, non-UFC plays from this past weekend? Behind the curtain, Fury hasn't started yet, right?
Yeah. So we're recording this at the time where Fury Challenger Series 8 has not started. Although both my picks for that fight card, if you listened on last Monday's episode, both of them have been at some point in time plus 280, plus 290 underdogs.
Yeah.
Both of them have also been pick'ems at some point in time. So if you've rode that wild roller coaster of odds, perhaps you've found the best ones. And hopefully they hit. By the time you're hearing this, hopefully we already know they hit. CES was weird because, we broke down CES last week. And I gave you picks for four fights. And then I never could find odds, which is really wild. I think it's the first time we've ever done this on our show where we broke down a fight card from a promotion that always gives odds. And then, like, Muradov professionally gave odds. You know, like, I found Muradov professional league odds. I did not find CES odds, which is really bizarre to me. I wonder if it's because they came off of Fight Pass and were broadcasting on Facebook that, like, they were just, like, off the books radar. I don't know. But none of the books that I know had CES. With that being said, I hit two out of four of my picks. Charles Rosa beat the scrub that they fed him so that he could win. He picked up a pretty nice guillotine submission in the second round. I missed the Ali Zibian versus Nate Andrews fight. Like a minute and a half into the first round, Ali Zibian kicks him in the arm. He blocks it, shattered his forearm. So it was like, you know, good defense and I can't fight anymore. So that fight didn't really get a chance to play out. I missed Justin Sumter beat the crap out of Eric Spicely. His grappling looked really bad. He started to look like his old, not ready to fight again self again. But then I did correctly predict the title fight. Hedgevaldo Calvalho beat UFC veteran Don Chaney, which I correctly predicted, and he did so with a pretty nice submission. So, you know, I wound up going 2-2. If we took my implied odds on those fights, I would have made money because I thought Hedgevaldo would have been plus 260, plus 270, maybe even worse because he was up against a UFC veteran. And then I thought I'd make like 13 cents on betting on Charles Rosa. So that would have barely broke even. But like, again, I don't really know because sometimes when I give you these projected odds, they're not that great. And in this case, never got to check them.
Now, we're going to project odds today, but Invicta, we can always find odds for, right?
Always. Well, up until that point, we could always find them for CES, too. So, weird things. And sometimes in MMA, these things happen.
It's true. It is true. All right. Let's just jump into it because we're doing all six fights. So, let's get down and get you some picks before I tell you about our lovely sponsors. Invicta FC 54, McCormick versus Wojcik. Actually, the only complaint I have about Invicta is they don't run often enough now. So, it would be nice if they were a monthly thing, but it seems to be almost seasonal at this point. But they're going down this Friday, the 27th of October, 4 p.m. Eastern, from the Citizens House of Blues in Boston, Massachusetts. No Gumby Vreeland in attendance, sadly, though. It is broadcast on YouTube, so there you go. Easy to find on Invicta FC. Six fights. We're going to start with a Canadian in the main card. Hooray. Marina Ducic. She's in a bantamweight fight against Fernanda Araújo, who is from, not surprisingly, Brazil. All right. Let me get my correct sheet up here. All right. Araújo, Ferocious is the nickname. She's 2-3 with one submission. She's been submitted herself once. This is her Invicta debut. Used to fight up at featherweight, 1-1 as a pro boxer. Ducic, Sweet Maria, 2-1, one knockout herself. Sorry, she hasn't finished anyone, and she's been knocked out herself the one time that she lost. That was in Invicta, where she's 0-1. She has not won a fight since... No, sorry, she's not lost a fight since July of 2022. That was when she fought for Invicta the first time. She's 3 years younger than Araújo and 3 inches taller, and that is all I have. So Gumby can fill in the blanks, hopefully.
So I'm going to go with Ducic. I think she's probably going to be a pretty decent favorite here, especially just because, like, you know, when you get to these fights, sometimes you just, like, look at the records, and you got 2-1 versus 2-3. That's usually enough for the books to be stacked in one direction. So I think Ducic is going to probably wind up being, like I said, negative 230, negative 240. And I'm going to go with her anyway here because – so Araújo, if you've ever seen her fight, she's, like – she's very stocky and like big wide shoulders, and she just throws giant haymakers. I don't know if it's an official nickname or not, but I've heard a lot of when she was fighting as an AMI, the announcers used to call her She-Hulk all the time, which is a sick nickname if it actually had stuck. And yeah. Ducic is just like a crafty Taekwondo specialist. And so, like, of course, you want the faster, longer, taller, the one with less wear on their tires, because Araújo might be 2-3, but she's also fought like a billion times as an amateur. I think she had her AMI debut like 11 years ago or something like that. And just like mixed results as an AMI too. Whereas Ducic, like younger, fresher, quicker, all those things. I think she's just going to be a better technical striker. We don't typically see a lot of finishes in Invicta. So if you've got somebody who's faster and is going to outpoint the other one, you usually take that one over the person who like kind of needs a finish.
Sounds good to me. You know, it doesn't sound good. Running back getting a 69 yard rushing touchdown against my fantasy team. That does not sound good. The game's just started too. That's not a good start to the day, Gumby. I should go over and play it. Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. Underdog has just introduced Scorchers. Go 5 for 5 and pick them Scorchers and enjoy a spicy 100 times payout. And for a limited time, Underdog is extending the first deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, if that's not enough, $100,000 Sundays continues on Underdog Fantasy. 10 lucky players will win $10,000 each every week. You got a spicy play for us, Gumby.
Let's see. I think this will probably come out. I told you guys last time that I've been riding the higher than on Bryce Harper's runs. I've also been kind of digging the higher than on Gabriel Moreno singles. It's been another one I've liked. Gabriel Moreno has been pretty decent this postseason. And if you want to change that up and do his, you know, his hits, runs, RBIs instead, like he's been pretty good on that front too. So I'll take Gabriel Moreno in this underdog fantasy season of ours.
All right, there you go. Watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $500. This Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And something new for you, NBA Underdog Contest. NBA is back. And to celebrate, we're giving away an NBA Gambling Podcast hoodie. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/NBA Dog, D-O-G, to submit a screenshot of you playing NBA Underdog using our promo code SGPN. And one random winner will get an NBA Gambling Podcast hoodie. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/NBA Dog. All right, let's move along into Evicta. We're going up a weight class to featherweight. Julia Dorney from Germany versus Riley Martinez from the United States of America. 3 5-minute rounds. Martinez, Rad, his name. 2-0. One knock at one submission. So she's finished both of her opponents. This is her Evicta debut. She's not been in the 2-1 with two knockouts. So she's finished both of her people as well. So they owe us rounds here at Gumby. She's been knocked out once as well, so she's never gone the distance. She hasn't fought since March of 2022. 0-1 in PFL, has not won a fight since October of 2019. Over to you.
So this is a fight that's definitely grappler versus grappler. Riley Martinez trains out of SBG Idaho, if I'm not mistaken, which just seems like it's made up. But she trains out of SBG Idaho. And I know she's like a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. She does like jiu-jitsu competitions and stuff like that. And she's going to come in here as a favorite, being 2-0 and not coming off of a loss, most likely, and training out of a gym that or at least a brand that people have heard of. You'll probably see her at like negative 185, plus 150, plus 160 return on Dorney. And so Riley's really good on the ground. The problem is she doesn't have much boxing. She seems like she doesn't terribly have a lot of takedown offense either. And I think that's going to be bad news against Dorney. So I'm actually going to go dog here. At least I'm pretty sure she'll be a dog with Dorney. Cause in her last fight, she did get beat on the PFL Challenger series. I had to like, listen to, was it Ray Lewis talk about how good she was doing while I was watching the fight. And I was like, this is dumb. Ugh. This is painful. PFL Challenger series is really a dumb idea. But anyway, when I was watching that fight, Dorney, I was like, she looks like she's confused striking here. She looks like she just doesn't get it. But she does look like she's got better takedown defense. And if like Martinez isn't going to give her any trouble on the feet, which I don't think she is, because like both of them look confused on the feet, I'll take the one with like the little bit better wrestling and seemingly the better physicality. So I'm going to go with Dorney here.
Makes sense to me. All right, we're dropping way down now to straw weights. Hillary Rose from the United States of America versus Andrea Amaro from the United States of America as well. Some U.S. on U.S. violence, just the way you like it. Amaro, 3-2 with one knockout. She's been submitted once. This is her Invicta debut. She won two straight fights, has not fought since August of 2022. Rose, 6-6, two knockouts, three submissions. She's knocked out twice, submitted twice. This is her UFC debut as well. not UFC, Invicta, excuse me. She's lost two straight fights and only won one of her last five. Her last two losses have come via submission. She went 0-1 on the Contender Series. You may recognize her from there. 1-1 is a pro kickboxer, 2 inches taller than Amaro.
So I'm going to say Amaro probably going to be a pretty big favorite here. We'll say, let's say -220, -225, +190 on the return for Rose. I'll take the favorite Amaro. I think, look, I've been fading Hillary Rose for a really long time. She's one of those people who got a chance on Contender Series. And I was like, how did she get a chance on Contender Series? Like, I know her record's good. But like, I don't personally think she's very good. And she fought Cheyenne Vliesmas, and Cheyenne Vliesmas kind of just like did whatever she wanted. Later, she fought Elise Reed. Elise Reed beat the heck out of her. I know I faded her in a LFA fight. I remember this vividly with Ashley Nichols, who had like a 3-3 record at the time and like scored on that too. She just like, she's so damn hittable. She's like so easy to hit. And like, she just doesn't have the physicality for her grappling to play up. She's like a, you know, clearly has some like jujitsu props, but like doesn't seem to have the physical strength to like need to get to anywhere she needs to. And Amaro is, you know, and maybe not a quote unquote prospect at this time, like a, you know, write home about her prospect, but she does have like a really nice 1-2. She seems to like land like when she is moving forward, not so much when she's moving backwards, but when she's moving forward, she lands that 1-2 and she doubles up her jab sometimes. And against somebody who's hittable, as long as she moves forward, she's going to win this fight pretty easily. So I'll go with the favorite Amaro here.
Okie dokie, some chalk for Gumby. We're going to move up to flyweights. Christina Williams from the United States versus Dee Begley from, is she from Ireland? I believe she is from Ireland. If I'm correct, yes. Irish fighters. All right. Which means fade the Irish fighters because they're all losing recently. But anyhow, Begley, 4-2, 1 knockout, 1 submission. She's been knocked out twice. This is her Invicta debut. She's won 4 out of her last 5, won her last fight via submission. 5 years younger than Williams. Williams is a warhorse. 6-4, 1 knockout, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 2-1 in Invicta. She's won 3 of her last 4, but she did lose her last fight. She went 3-3 in Bellator as well, and she's 5 inches taller than Begley, so she'll be much bigger in this fight. Go ahead.
I think this is going to be a pick'em. I think you're going to see odds that come in right around -110, -115 for both of them. The reason why, Warhorse has obviously had some issues in recent fights. She didn't fight for the title, looked not so good in that fight with the Ketlin Souza who beat her. She just like, you know, didn't have answers for the grappling. She looked slower in the striking. And now we're getting her against this prospect. And clearly Invicta is trying to play up the Irish side of things going to Boston, right? Because we got an Irish lady in the main event. We got an Irish lady 2 fights down. And I think they're trying to play it up with Begley here. And I think Begley is got some chops, but my biggest concern with her is she's way too small for this weight class. And Warhorse is enormous for a flyweight. You know, 5'8", and she like has got the reach to match it, and maybe then some. Like, and she fights long. She fights with a really long straight right hand, and that should be enough here, I think, to beat Begley. Because while I like Begley, and I think she's, you know, she's kind of good anywhere she goes. Like, I'm fine with her boxing. You know, she mixes in a little bit of wrestling, and from what I've seen of it, it doesn't look bad. But I just don't think she'll ever get inside on Warhorse with her being that big. Her wrestling's not good enough on her double legs, or, you know, isn't going to get low enough on Warhorse without getting absolutely popped. And I just can't see her boxing getting around length, especially like, you know, we talk about people who are tall for their weight classes all the time. Warhorse is definitely that. But a lot of those people don't know how to use that height. You know, like they fail at using it. She's not one of those people. She's got it, and she's got a touch of power. You know, like she didn't win her last fight, but the one before that, she dropped her opponent and then jumped right on her back and submitted her. So like, I think Williams here has got the jump on her in terms of length. She's going to have the jump on her in power. And I just think those two things alone are going to be insurmountable. So I'll take, take Warhorse here probably as a pick'em.
Perfect. Sounds good. Co-main event time, strawweights. Valeska Machado, aka Tina Black. Did we ever find out why she's Tina Black? Have we talked about this?
We don't know.
we have talked her on about your show, it. Top Turtle.
We have definitely talked about it.
All right. Valeska, Tina Black Machado versus Kalindra Faria. A couple of Brazilians who you may have heard of, both of them. Let's tell you about Faria first. She's got quite the resume. It's going to take me a while here. 19-9-1, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 4 times. This is her Invicta debut. She's gone 1-4 of her last 5 fights, including losing her last fight. That was back in June of 2022. She has multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 0-3 in UFC. 0-1 in World Series of Fighting. Used to fight up at bantamweight and down at she used to fight up at flyweight and up at bantamweight. She's way down at strawweight now. I'm getting my weight classes all mixed up. 2009 pro MMA debut. 1-1 as a pro boxer. 1-1 as a pro kickboxer. She also does pro grappling. Tina Black Machado, 12-4, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in Invicta, used to be the champion in Invicta. 4-1 over her last 5 fights, and then she lost her belt in her last fight. 0-1 in the Dana White's Contender Series, used to fight down at atomweight. So we got a former atomweight versus a former bantamweight. Also is a pro grappler, 9 years younger than Faria, 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach. Go ahead.
So I think Black is going to come in here as the favorite, mostly just because this is a short notice fight for Kalindra Faria. Tina Black was originally supposed to fight Isis Verbeek, who was just on Contender Series as well. She's the one who lost to Josephine Knutson. So she was originally supposed to fight her. So Faria is taking this on short notice. She's been taking a lot of fights that weren't MMA fights. She actually boxed, like, basically in my backyard a while ago. She boxed in Worcester, Massachusetts in August. So it seems like she's, like, not fully committed to the MMA game anymore. And in addition to that, like, I've seen her have issues. You know, like you mentioned, she's been up at bantamweight. But, like, part of the problem with her, both when she was in the UFC and her last MMA fight, which was against Julia Pilastri, she just, like, she doesn't have the physicality in the clinch. And seemingly as time has gone on, because she is way up there in age now, she's losing a little bit of her speed too. And the fact that she's losing a little bit of her speed is making it so that, you know, like, what she's best at is really going away. So, ooh, where'd my face go?
Speaking of going away,
yeah, and this is what happens. So my battery was going down, so I'm pretty sure that's what happened to it. So you can just enjoy my face for a second. Anyway. Yeah, you can just not enjoy my face for a second while I figure that out. But as I was saying, part of the thing that was best about her was that she was really good at she had really good speed early in her career. That was her best traits. Now she doesn't have that, and she doesn't have the physicality. And the thing about Tina Black is, you know, say what you want about her, say that she's great, say that she's not great, say anything about, but like, she's fast and she picks people apart. And I think here she should have no problem doing that against Kalindra Faria.
You're speaking of boxing in your backyard. Not a good idea, because there's bears in your backyard, Gumby. So
not in your backyard. Not in Worcester, Massachusetts. There is not bears. No.
Okay. Has there any bear spottings recently in your backyard?
I haven't seen one in a minute, but they're probably out there.
Huh. Maybe your dad can come and they'll smell your dad and then they'll be like, oh, another bear is here. A bear whisperer. There's our friend. All right. Well, Gumby tries to make himself not a ghost and come back. I'm going to tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Gumby, you're supposed to be the good looking half of the duo. Now you're gone. Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by a leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bet's to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bet's app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're going to win on our main event here, hopefully, because that's what time we're at. There's Gumby. He's back with his fun hat. We don't have to mention what the hat is because we mentioned it last episode. So, all right. Main event is for some gold, the Invicta FC Strawweight Championship. And as Gumby said, there is an Irish woman in the main event. Dani McCormack is the champion. She will be defending her belt in five-minute rounds against Karolina Wojcik, who is from Poland, I believe. Correct?
Correct.
Yes, from Poland. All right. Let's tell you about the challenger first. Wojcik, the Polish assassin. That kind of gives away where she's from, isn't it?
I feel like it does, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yes. she is 11-3. She beat Wojcik with two knockouts. So she's decision happy. She owes us a finish. Never been finished in a fight herself. 2-1 in Invicta. 6-1 over her last seven fights, including winning her last fight. 1-0 on the Contender Series. Didn't get a contract, though. Was a regional champion, 4 years younger than McCormack. Dani McCormack, a great nickname, Mac, M-A-C. Fantastic. 7-2, one knockout, one submission. She's been knocked out once. 2-0 in Invicta and is the champion of the world. She won two straight. Before that, she lost two straight. And keep the twos going. She's 2 inches taller than Wojcik. I think these ladies deserve a finish. I think this is where we're headed. It's got to be a finish, Dan. They never finish. They always go the distance. We're due.
They're due. Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure the odds are going to come in here favoring the challenger.
Really?
Yeah. I think Wojcik is probably going to be like, maybe like -150 to +135 on McCormack. Because like usually we see challengers as the favorite, right? Or champions as the favorite rather. Yep. But the problem here is that, first of all, you mentioned she's only won two in a row. And before that, she got beat up kind of pretty badly in those two fights. She was kind of like a surprise title challenger for everybody. And in that Tina Black fight, because that's who she beat for the belt, Tina Black rolled early in that fight. She was doing exceptionally well out the gate. But, you know, like McCormack is like a zombie. She just like moves forward and never gives up. Like she should change that nickname. She shouldn't be Mac anymore. She should be the Irish zombie. Cause yep. She just like, she walks forward. Like Tina Black bloodied her face in that fight. And she just kept coming forward to the point where she had made it to the fifth round and Tina Black needed to finish. She had won three out of the four rounds and was bleeding profusely out of her nose. And so like, I love that about her style. And I will say this, I think that combined with the fact that she does seem to have pretty good takedown defense and pretty good ability to get up, I think it's going to beat Wojcik. I expect her to retain here. I expect myself to get some dog money on her because Wojcik, I was really high on her when she was on Contender Series. I thought she should have gotten a contract. And since then, what she's kind of proven is that, like, yes, she is a pretty good wrestler, but if you put any kind of pace on her or make her work, she tires. Because she lost to Tina Black. She did not beat Tina Black, but it was mostly because she was in this like tournament where she had to fight two fights in one night. And the second fight, she looked tired. And Tina Black walked her down and picked her apart. And if she's going to go 25 minutes with Dani McCormack, I think she's going to have a similar issue there. And I also think it's going to be harder for her to get her wrestling going. So I pick McCormack here. I think she walks her down. I think she probably eats some punches because Wojcik has got like a pretty nice counter and like she throw, it's kind of loopy, but she throws this like looping right hook that might tag McCormack a couple times, but she's tough enough that I don't think she's going to fall. So give me McCormack just kind of like marching her down for a decision, winning at least three of the rounds.
What number are we going to get on her or what's the range you would like to get?
I said, I think +135. If she's plus, I'm in on it. Okay. Cause I think she's going to win. Like I pick her to win, like even gun to your head pick, I'm picking her to win, but I expect her to come in at plus money.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's recap and get out of here. McCormack is his pick in the main event. I didn't write down your second one. Tina Black, right?
I took Tina Black. Yeah.
Tina Black, AKA Machado, Williams, the Warhorse, Amaro, Dorney and Ducic. Did I get all those correct?
You did indeed.
All right, let's get out of here. If you want more of us, we'll be in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. You can also chat on Twitter. Gumby runs our Twitter account, SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Foxwriter on Twitter and on Instagram. He's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast that will drop shortly. Do you know who's on this week? Is it in the can?
Yeah, it's in the can. I'm talking to three different fighters who are fighting at LFA, which we'll be breaking down later in the week. I'm talking to Harris Tlunzik, who's in the main event. I'm talking to Nayra Sepp, who is fighting Shannon Clark. And I'm also talking to Shannon Clark.
And we'll be talking about LFA very shortly in an episode coming up. What else do I tell you to do? Go to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe, get me in your inbox, enter my pick'em contest, all that fun stuff. And for all good things in sports gambling sphere, sportsgamblingpodcast.com and the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Gumby, tell the people goodbye.
I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's She-Hulk Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.